to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Hour two of three. We go from 9 to noon on this Chris and Amy show. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. Time to go back to the guest line, the partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. Dave Simons is with us this morning. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Chris. How are you and Amy?
I think we're doing okay. Amy, you all right?
I'm doing pretty well.
She's fine.
Right. I'm a little okay. I'm a little sleepy, Dave, because I was up late last night with more storm warnings, and the tornado sirens did go off by me. And just FYI, I was listening to KMOX until 1 a.m. Michael Calhoun anchored Storm Mode live with Dave Murray until 1 a.m. last night.
Yeah, you know, I was falling asleep. I wanted to stay awake because I knew the storms were coming in. I live out in West County and fell asleep. But I think it was about 11:20, 11:25, the sirens went off. So up we were.
We're going to talk to Dave Murray, by the way, in 25 minutes.
Oh, that's right. And, and last note, I did get to meet my neighbor in the stairwell, and we had a nice visit. I know. It was real. And I was like, you should listen. How are your finances? Because we're talking to Dave Simons tomorrow.
Yeah, Dave, let's start with when a disaster like this happens, what is there a bit of advice that you give people something to do or not do after a thing like this?
Well, yeah, I think people know the first thing and foremost after you check to make sure, you know, you've got your belongings and whatnot. But let's say there is some real damage. I mean, this is where you hate to be that insurance agent. And I've got a couple of good friends who run their own insurance practice, and they do not have good days because they know that so many of their clients and customers are going to be calling. You know, it's interesting because this is a big and growing issue here in the United States. Call it climate change, call it whatever you want. But insurance companies now, this is a very changing industry. Tornadoes are one thing. That's what we here in the Midwest have to deal with mostly. But it's the hurricanes and it's these wildfires now. You have a massive change in the way that the industry is now protecting people. In fact, a lot of insurance companies are pulling out, whether it's in Florida because of hurricanes or California because of wildfires. This is an economic issue that we're going to all have to deal with going forward, because now how do these folks get insurance coverage? And if they can, it becomes so astronomically expensive that they just can't do it.
Yeah, I guess that would be the question. If insurance companies just can't do it when it comes to a state like California, the wildfires, the other natural disasters, does that mean we have to reinvent the system as we know it?
Well, it definitely means taxpayers are likely going to be more on the hook. And I know people don't want to hear that, because how many people say this, and I know some folks listening right now are affected by this because of the flooding that happens a lot in this area. But it's like, can we just move people away from these areas? We have to have this taxpayer money that just constantly goes in and helps to rebuild these homes and people's lives. And now you're getting that asked of people in Florida because of hurricanes, and other places like Colorado and Arizona and California because of wildfires. You just can't keep moving people around. So, yeah, Amy, this is going to cause a big rethink. In fact, it's already happening. This is really interesting. Just yesterday, I went and looked at all these insurance stocks like Allstate and Chubb and all these big companies that cover people and their cars and homes and property. You know, their stocks have all been going astronomically higher the last couple of years. It's an industry that I don't follow that much, and I frankly was surprised at how much they've gone up. These stocks are doing better than the broader market, and as I did a little bit more digging, It's because they are starting to change their business model. They just cannot be on the hook anymore for always going in and bailing out the same homes in various parts of the country. So their profit margins, I guess, are starting to go up. And that tells me that this process of changing their business models is already underway.
Yeah, so maybe you can't answer this question, but I have seen criticism of major insurance companies, and that criticism is they are using climate change to raise premiums and say, well, sorry, you know, what can we do? Much in the same way that the greedflation thing was happening, where, you know, big stores would raise prices when there was the supply chain. Then the supply chain rebounded, but they still charged you a lot of money and they blamed it on inflation, even though they could have lowered prices again. Is there truth to that?
Yeah, I don't know, but I know exactly why you would ask the question. I think it's a fair question, especially, look, the ultimate arbiter here really doesn't have an opinion, and it's not political. It's the stock. It's the stock market. So when you look at a stock of any of these insurance companies, and I looked at Progressive and others, these stocks are, I would just tell anyone, go look at these stocks, look at their symbol, look at them, and you say, wow, after years of actually not performing well because of all the aforementioned catastrophes we're talking about, but in the last couple of years now, these things are taking off even while we've had more disasters, additional disasters. So if people are saying, these investments have actually been doing very well. So, you know, look, it's a free market capitalistic society. And if these companies say it just doesn't pay to insure, the government, then this is why we have a government. They have to come in and maybe fill that void, which, of course, falls on us as taxpayers.
Well, we've been definitely focused on the tornado, the damage, and the recovery here in St. Louis. But the economy at large, Dave, and the, you know, whether it's interest rates, inflation rates, where are we in our current little volatile time we're in?
Yeah, you know, Amy, it really still is getting down to this this tiresome discussion of tariffs, but that's just where we are. You know, so many of these economists and market strategists that I talk to, and many of them based on Wall Street, they're just kind of sitting on their hands right now. But here's the thing. There's an old saying that says, do not short a dull market, which means don't bet against it. When everyone seems to be sitting on their hands because they don't know what to do, that tends to help the market move higher. It's a very strange phenomenon. And that's exactly what is happening right now. This, in just the last few weeks, the S&P 500 has moved higher about 20% off the lows since mid-April. This is one of like the top 10 biggest moves in the history of the stock market. So we had one of the fastest, sharpest declines ever from Liberation Day on April 2nd for about a week or so. And then this huge turnaround from there back and above that. So it's one of those things right now, Amy, where people, they can't really answer the question, okay, where are we going? And then meanwhile, because of this lack of volatility and not a lot of news on which to invest on, it's just kind of continuing to incrementally go higher. But I would warn investors out there who are listening, be careful. I'm not throwing any cold water on this, but we haven't settled anything here. I mean, we got this 90-day thing, and how much longer we have, I don't know, 70, 75 days when that ends sometime in July, where we may have to do this all over again. And if there are no additional negotiations and nothing that's going on with China, then we could see a repeat from early April. That has not been settled yet at all. And my opinion is, I think inflation is going to go higher through the end of the year. I do. I think these tariffs are going to take place. So I would not necessarily chase this market. Stay with your plan. Continue to invest in your 401k. But don't think that now is the time to get aggressive just because the market's done well. I think it's overdoing it just a little bit.
Well, it has rebounded, but it's still not where it was in February, right?
Yeah, it's not back to its all-time high. You're exactly right. It's back above so-called Liberation Day, but its all-time high was reached in February, and we're still about, 5-6% below that, yes.
Dave, I guess this could be related with, before we let you go, with the tariffs. How is your Mandarin these days?
Nishi Zhongo Renma?
Are you fluent?
No. So just very quickly, this just started out of the blue a couple of years ago.
You just woke up one day and you could speak Mandarin?
It was weird. I woke up out of a coma and I could speak Chinese. That's the strangest thing. No, I told my wife, now that I'm older and in my 60s, I keep active, as you know, physically, yeah. But you got to keep that brain active. And so a great challenge, some people do crossword puzzles or whatever. I told my wife, I'm going to not only learn a language, yeah. but I'm going to pick one of the hardest ones out there. So I have a teacher and I'm loving it, but it is difficult. Chinese is hard.
That's incredible. I also feel like now you can be our reporter on the tariffs and go, no, that's not what he said.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't say that.
I will be the in-house interpreter. You call me anytime.
Love it.
Dave Simons, we appreciate it. Thank you. We will talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Amy.
Dave Simons is the partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. He is our financial expert, and we talk to him every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. It's Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji. We're going to talk to the executive director of Craft Alliance. The Del Mar Maker District took quite a bit of damage during the storm on Friday. The recovery efforts are happening, and we'll talk to Brian Nicely, who is the executive director of the Craft Alliance, next on KMOX.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big queue. Taco to go, taco to go. Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go, taco to, this deal legit. Taco to go. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99.
Chris Ranji, Amy Marks-Kors with you. And as we continue to cover the recovery efforts across the city of St. Louis, our focus turns to the Del Mar Maker District and the Craft Alliance. Now, the Craft Alliance is a 60-year-old community arts organization. They suffered serious damages to their offices on Friday with the tornado. And joining us now is the executive director of the Craft Alliance, Brian Nicely, to let us know what kind of damage the Craft Alliance suffered and what kind of help they still need. Brian, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start at the basics. For people who might not be familiar with what the Craft Alliance is and what it does and how it contributes to St. Louis, can you kind of set the table?
Sure. We've been around for almost 61 years now, providing craft opportunities for our community in multimediums, including metal, paper, wood, clay, fiber, glass, and really giving kids of all ages, adults down through elementary school, the opportunity to come in and be creative, find their creative side, and actually create craft items that might actually help them with a career in craft.
What sorts of help do you need right now?
The Maker District needs lots of help, you know, whether it's boots on the ground and helping with cleanup efforts. We've actually cleaned up most of our office, so we're just now waiting on estimates to get repairs. And primarily, we're waiting for the power to come back on. Once the power comes back on, we will be able to start classes back up again, which I know will be great for our community and getting them back together. But once we know more about the office space and the reconstruction of the concrete ceiling and roof, which is going to take several months to fix.
Yeah, you talked about getting the classes back together. Just to clarify, will you be able to do classes in that building, or is it still structurally unsound?
No, the studio side, thankfully, is not harmed by the storm. So we're very lucky with that. So that's why we're excited about hopefully getting the power back on and getting people back in there so they can bring the community back together. The administrative side of the building is a separate part of the building, and that's where the damage is sustained, and it's just not safe to be in there.
In terms of people who might be out of work temporarily, is that an issue you're dealing with now?
We have people working remotely all over town right now. Okay. We're putting together a makeshift office at our PR firm currently, and we've had some other offers for temporary office space. And some of our workers have the ability that, you know, they have computers, they can work from home. So we're trying to pull that effort together and, you know, keep people as seamless as possible, just because we have to continue on with our camps and our classes. We have summer camp coming up starting June 2nd, so we're still taking registrations for that and just trying to keep the ball rolling.
Well, I know there are a couple of events coming up where people can go. They can help donate funds to the recovery process for Craft Alliance and the Maker District on Del Mar. What can you tell us about these events?
Sure. There's going to be a tornado relief night at the Foundry this Wednesday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. So come out. There'll be, you know, live things going on. There'll be opportunities for silent auctions, just to get back together with your craft and arts community, tell stories and help each other out and make donations, obviously, to all those organizations. And then we also have a fundraiser coming up on May 28th, a spring trivia night, and that's going to be held at Alpha Brewery down on Filer. And information for that's on our website at craftalliance.org, and you can always make a donation there as well.
So this Wednesday, tomorrow at the Foundry, an event happening. It gets started at 5:30, and then again a week from tomorrow on Wednesday, that'll be at Alpha Brewing Company, and that trivia begins at 7 o'clock. Craftalliance.org is the website. Is everybody okay? Everybody associated with Craft and Maker District, as far as you know?
Yeah, I mean, we were very lucky. I mean, there was very little warning. I think everyone knows, you know, the siren issue, but we literally got into the restrooms, which is the core part of our building, just in time. The doors were blowing open, and that's about what the time the storm hit. And so we were very fortunate. No one was hurt in our building. As far as I know, no one sustained any serious damage personally, and in the Maker District, you know, just the catastrophic physical damage of the structures.
And I know you mentioned the classes, and I wanted to go back to this and how the Craft Alliance serves the community. How many kids do you think have been through your programs over these six decades you've been around?
It's thousands and thousands. I mean, we see thousands of kids every year. For instance, our summer camp has roughly 700, 800 kids in it every summer. We see thousands of adults and youth in our programs year-round, both in the building and outside of the building. So I'm sure it's hundreds of thousands of people at this point. It's a lot.
And then I know your nonprofit, Craft Alliance, are there scholarships? Do some kids go on scholarships if they want to take part in the camps but maybe can't afford it?
Yeah, we do have a scholarship program, so it's need-based, and you can find that information on our website as well. And just apply. We're very encouraging for people. We've been really fortunate this last year to get more money donated for the scholarship program, and we hope to expand that going forward.
You know, we started this by asking you about Craft Alliance, you know, an organization that's been around for decades. I'm still not sure a lot of people here in St. Louis know exactly what the Maker District is, because it's sort of a newer thing, and it's like there's a lot going on there. So can you tell people exactly what Maker District is and why it's new and exciting?
Yeah, the Maker District is, you know, the block on Del Mar between Union and Kings Highway. And it was really a block where the creative sector came together, whether that's arts, crafts, culinary arts, creative businesses, maker spaces. So it really provides a compact community where the creative sector can come together, share resources, learn from each other, support each other, and really try to make a difference in revitalizing that area of Del Mar.
Well, it's been fun to see the Maker District grow, and I know millions of dollars have been invested into that area. I was listening to, KMOX this morning talking about that, how much money has been invested to make it grow, and then just to have this setback is discouraging, but we know the community is coming together to help rebuild those buildings, clean up the mess, and continue the great work that's going on in the Maker District. So, Executive Director of Craft Alliance, Brian Nicely, thank you so much again for your time this morning. Again, a couple of events coming up. One tomorrow, Wednesday, May 21st, City Foundry Live Art Market Tornado Relief Night, and the Craft Alliance Trivia Fundraiser on Wednesday, May 28th at Alpha Brewing Company. Brian, thank you so much, and take care as you guys recover from the storm.
Thank you.
That is Brian Nicely with the Craft Alliance. He's Chris Ronji. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. And
just like well, we have had some...
Taco to go, taco to...
And a big queue.
Taco to go,
taco to go.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco to go.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Volatile weather over the past week, and looks like we might have a few more storms. But joining us now, I'm honored to welcome in KMOX meteorologist Dave Murray, whose voice I've been listening to nonstop on KMOX. I think I was up till 1 a.m. listening to you and Michael Calhoun, Dave. So thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. That's what we live for.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I can imagine you haven't gotten much sleep.
That's okay. It really is. See, in severe weather season, it's... You don't even think about it. You really don't. You just do it. You just go.
Well, I want to ask you about the storms that hit Friday, but before I do, what should people look for or expect today as far as the weather goes? Because last night was intense.
Yeah, last night was intense. Obviously, not like we saw Friday afternoon. This afternoon and the prime time this afternoon is going to be 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's kind of a scattered, strong to severe thunderstorm setup. It won't really be moving in directly from the west-northwest. It'll be developing almost right on top of us. I think limited action today. A lot of folks are not going to see anything, but where these isolated or scattered thunderstorms develop, the main features besides heavy rain and lightning will be hail and wind. The potential for tornadoes is very low today, and the focus is going to be Metro St. Louis to point southeast and east. Again, it's not a big outbreak today, but it's kind of the last gasp of this system. So we still have to kind of pay attention here.
But if you're going to Cardinals to see them play the Tigers tonight, no problem, right?
No problem tonight. It should all be long gone.
All right, Dave, this is just, I guess, weather phenomena I want to ask you about. And I talked to you right after the tornado hit on Friday. Well, I talked with you and Michael Calhoun, but I couldn't hear you. So
okay.
for whatever reason, and that's why I feel so bad if you were trying to talk and I kept talking. I couldn't hear you from my end. But I'll describe quickly exactly what I felt. The tornado sirens went off and then they stopped. And everything was fine. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go for a run. But I turned on KMOX. I turned on the television just to see, you know, what was going on. They mentioned Olivet. The meteorologist said, see this? This is Hanley. And as soon as he said that, Dave, outside was still totally fine and still. But my ears popped. It felt like my head was going to explode. This is the weirdest, most dramatic part. It kind of felt like the air kind of came out of my apartment, like I felt deflated, so it felt a little dizzy. It got super windy all at once, and I just beelined for the stairwell. And that's when it got really, really loud. But it went from completely calm to my ears and my head felt like they were going to explode.
Yeah, when a tornado comes down, it takes some time. Is that we tend to get a little bit of a circulation right at the ground level. Sometimes you don't even see it. And then the funnel drops down, and if it makes contact with the ground, it becomes a tornado. I think what happened to you is that that circulation went right over you, and then the tornado dropped down fairly quickly right after that. So you were at the very beginning stages of this development of the twister pulling itself together and getting ready to drop down.
So
you were really close.
Yeah.
Really, really close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the tornado path, the first touchdown was about a half mile from where I live.
Yeah. It's only happened to me once. I was probably in a place that I should not have been storm chasing. This is a long time ago. It's a weird feeling. It's just a very, it's like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah, so I was getting off the highway onto King's Highway. I saw over the park what looked like it was bad. It was there. That's what it was. But it was one of those vague-looking tornadoes. You know, it didn't have that nice, tight funnel that we're used to seeing in videos. It wasn't like that, right? It was kind of wide. And I'm like, is that a tornado? I don't know, but I shouldn't drive toward it. So I went the opposite direction, and I pulled into an alley. That was probably not safe, right? Don't pull into an alley.
Driving away from it, first of all, driving away from it is a good thing.
Okay, that part's good.
Right. And then you start to just roll the dice when it comes to safety with a tornado on the ground. There's no 100% safe location. Obviously, you want to get to the lowest possible point, basement, the best deal, stay away from windows, things like that. But you've got to use your common sense and use it very quickly to say, am I safe here? And if you don't feel like you're safe there, then you should probably get inside or move to another location.
Dave, because it hit so quickly, and I feel like I haven't gotten a good answer, if I'm driving down the highway and it's hitting, what do I do? You know, it doesn't matter what lane you're in. Like, if you're in the right lane, do you pull over? If you're in the fast lane, do you slow down but keep driving? I don't know what to do.
It may be the toughest place to be when there's a tornado on the ground. There's a couple of things you can do. I always say try to get under an overpass. Again, not the safest place to be, but better. The absolute best thing to do is to get out of your car and get down into a ditch, get down into the lowest possible point. But that's not a real safe place either, but it's better than being in your car, which could easily get picked up in a high wind situation. Now, the problem with getting down in a ditch, typically the tornado happens first and the heavy rain comes in right behind it or with it, depending on the setup. So don't stay in the ditch very long because that's now prone to flash flooding.
Okay.
It's not easy. It's just not easy.
Because we've heard different things now on the overpass that you should not get under it because it creates a wind tunnel effect. So the debris could get you. And so you're just weighing your options?
Yeah. It's just weighing your options. If you just have to kind of say, where can I go right now? Where I am on the highway or where I am on a road. If you're on kind of a secondary road or you know, like Hanley, try to pull over, get into a building, you know, knock on somebody's door, get into a gas station, get into a convenience store, get into a Schnucks, you know, get into whatever you can get into. And that's the thing. But you have to do it very quickly. These things aren't saying, well, here I come, I'm coming now. No, they're like, here I come, I'm coming now.
Yeah, and right, like a side road to like Hanley, like you said, get into a building because there are so many trees, or those people who are driving on Lindell. I saw a car the other day, or yesterday, I should say. It was one of those giant 100-year-old trees, and this was near Forest Park, and it crushed the car like down to the chassis, down to the wheels. The entire car collapsed.
Yes, if you've never cut a tree down, whether it be a relatively small tree, like a 10-inch diameter tree, or all, you know, one of these huge oaks kind of thing, it is amazing how tall it is. It is amazing how heavy it is. It's amazing how much trouble you can get into very quickly with a falling tree. I know from experience from cutting a tree down and it went the wrong way.
Oh, boy. Did it land on your house?
No, it actually landed on me.
Oh my gosh.
So I caught it. It was about a 10-inch diameter tree.
Oh, okay.
And I was trying to push it away from the deck, but it went towards the deck, and it was like, okay, I think I can hold this thing up. And then my wife realized what was going on, called the fire department, and of course, they love to come to Dave Murray's house.
Were you laying under it?
Or were you holding it?
No, I wasn't laying under it. I was still holding it. I was holding it.
I thought you were saying that you were cutting down like a 100-year-old oak or something and it fell
on you. No, I know better than that. Yeah. I know better than that. This was one I thought I could handle.
Okay.
But it's just a cutting a tree down, it kind of expect the height of it is probably double of what you expect it to be.
Yeah.
So this storm on Friday, we heard it turned into an EF3. That was the ultimate rating. Why don't they pass through the urban part of St. Louis, like the actual metro part? Is it just dumb luck that it hasn't happened since the late 50s, or is there an actual reason they don't go through cities typically?
No, there is a fallacy that tornadoes do not hit cities. They absolutely do. It is just it's luck or not luck, depending on how you look at it. You know, our worst tornadoes, 1896, 1927, 1959, came right through the heart of St. Louis. Hundreds killed in some of these tornadoes. The 59 was the one that hit the old Checker Dome and hit the Channel 2 Tower and kind of squished it down. It just depends. And that happened in the middle of winter. It just depends. It just depends on the setup. But do not, you know, it's kind of like opening your windows before a tornado. Yeah. That's kind of a fallacy now too. And it's you know, it's one of these things. Tornadoes can hit anywhere at any time. Do not think that you're in a safe place because of the river or because it's a city or because of whatever reason. A tornado can hit anywhere and really any time.
Okay, quick question about the windows, because I had always heard that's a fallacy as well. Don't open your windows. But then I saw so many houses where it looked like the windows just blew out, like every single window, 30 windows.
Yep.
That's pressure, though, not wind, right?
Wind. No, that's wind.
Really?
That's where the fallacy developed. Okay. Everybody, you know, 20 plus years ago, everybody thought it was the pressure that was doing that. But in reality, it's really the wind that is doing it. I always say, you know, if you want to crack open a window, do it well ahead of the storm. So maybe you can hear the sirens a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But do not go toward, if the warning is up, the sirens are going. Don't run to your windows and open them up, because that's a weak part of the house. The windows are going to go in first, and you're wasting time. Don't take the time to run to a window and open it up and then get to your basement or get to your interior bathroom. You know, just say, get to your safe place right now. Windows are probably going to go anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Dave, along the tornado path where it did touch down, we're kind of talking about it first touched down, right? Like in Big Bend and the Clayton area. And in the middle, like it's a very wide road with a giant median. The median has a lot of smaller trees. All of those look like they were cut in half, like twisted in half. There's even lampposts wrapped around trees. But the giant 100-year-old trees on each side of those roads looked like someone was gardening and pulled them up by the base with root system that pulled up the sidewalk on the road. Is there a specific reason why all the median trees were cut in half and all the giant 100-year-old trees were intact but pulled up by the roof?
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with size more than anything. We've had a lot of rain this spring, so the ground table of water is very, very high. And plus, remember, the trees are in leaf now. So when you get a strong wind, whether it be a tornado or a straight line wind, trees are going to grab that. Mm-hmm. And in this case, 150 plus mile per hour winds, it's just going to be pulled right out, kind of like a cork coming out of a bottle.
We had a listener, and this question is from Keith, Dave, who's asking, you know, there were people who were inside the arch at the top of it when that storm rolled through. And Keith wants to know, could it be knocked down by a tornado?
Could the arch be knocked down?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I don't believe there's anything that is 100% safe when it comes to a tornado, especially when you're talking EF3, EF4, mm-hmm. EF5. Yes, that would be a possibility.
Oh. That would be the worst.
I have never thought about the arch getting knocked down like it's...
Or you could get taken for a real ride across the river.
So, okay, do we know? I know the arch sways, and there were people in the arch. How much were they swaying? Were they swaying like 10 or 20 feet?
I don't know. It kind of sways all the time.
I don't think it would
sway 10 to 20 feet, but it's one of those things. I mean, we had fair warning, a 24-hour warning that this was not going to be a pretty afternoon on Friday. And then as we got into the early afternoon, it was like, we really do have some problems here, folks. We really need to pay attention. And that's where each individual has to come into play. You think about, okay, are we going to have thunderstorms this afternoon? Should I be up in the arch? Should I be in a hot air balloon? Should I be playing baseball? You know, it's one of those things where, well, it looks okay right now. but it caves in very, very quickly, especially like the storm on Friday. It developed right on top of us. It wasn't like you can look out and say, yeah, I think that storm might be in St. Charles County right now, and it might be coming towards me. This all developed right on top of us.
Dave, there's been a lot of controversies about the tornado sirens in the city of St. Louis. Did they go off? Did they not go off? But I guess outside of that, what are your thoughts on the tornado siren system in general? I've kind of heard some people say the system's outdated. Others say it's necessary. What do you feel about it?
I like the siren concept. I really do. They test them. Now, the question is, do they really test them? Are they going to each siren site and making sure it works? And if it's not working, how quickly do they fix it? You know, a lot of times you forget about it. It's like, we don't need to worry about it today. Let's put it on the docket for tomorrow to fix. These things need to be fixed right away. Why sirens get blown in our area is a mess. It has been a mess for a long time. And I could talk for an hour on this thing. You know, you don't issue a tornado, there should only be one person, and that's the National Weather Service, blowing those sirens. It should not be given to any, that power should not be given to anybody else. It should come from one source. And it's also, don't blow the sirens. You know, if you're in St. Louis County and there is a tornado warning for central Jefferson County, there's right now an adjacent county will blow the sirens. Don't do that. Just don't do that. Because you get to the point of, crying wolf. I don't know how this whole thing got started. It got started a long time ago. But that whole thing has to be revamped. And revamped not only with the system itself, but on the education of the public on what we're doing here. Because a lot of times, you mentioned it, that, the sirens went off, so it must be okay. And it's just goofy. It's just really goofy, and it can be confusing, and it can be dangerous.
So the mayor said the fire department now is going to have control. They physically have control of it. You say the National Weather Service should be doing it. Is there a mechanism by which they could? Could they physically be in the office and
absolutely.
All right. So then why doesn't it happen that way?
I don't know. In a lot of places in tornado land, in the plains, in the Midwest, that's how it's done. Why we have decided to do this, I'm not sure. Yeah. I've never gotten a clean answer out of this, and I've been searching for it for like 20 years.
Oh, okay. Well,
why do we do this?
Why do we do anything we do here?
Well, that's a whole nother thing.
Everything is like a why. You could ask why about every single thing that's done in St. Louis, I think. Why?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, Dave Murray.
That's another show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. You're the absolute
you
best.
Thank you so much, guys.
Meteorologist Dave Murray joining us here on the show. It's true, right? I feel like just about anything we decide to do as a city, you could say, why? What are you doing that for? Okay, but why?
You know what? We should have t-shirts like a whole slogan. St. Louis. Okay, but why?
It reminds me of, you've seen Three Amigos?
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, Steve Martin says, I'll be back. And the lady goes, why? It's Chris and
Amy. I'll come back one day.
On 104.1 FM KMOX.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
If there's a reason for you to send a voice message to the show on the Odyssey app, I got one really good reason.
Okay.
I just thought of.
Yeah.
Every time you send us a message and we play it on the air, that's a little less time you have to hear us talk.
It's a great reason.
Right? So you should do it. Odyssey app, download it, AUDACY, and there's a send a message button. Mm-hmm. Push that button, record your message, and send it over.
You know how KMOX is the voice of St. Louis?
Since when?
Since 100 years ago.
Literally 100 years.
Yeah, grow up. Anyway, and our boss likes us to be local and timely and relevant. Local and relevant, really, with what we're talking about. Well,
he's out of town. We can do whatever we want.
Well, good, because this story is neither local nor relevant.
Awesome.
But a bunch of capuchin monkeys are kidnapping baby howler monkeys, which is a different type of monkey. And scientists don't know why, but they have cameras set up around, in the wild, as they do, so they can study this. And there have been instances of what they're calling interspecies abduction. And it's being documented among male capuchins. And sometimes you'll see female capuchins carrying, nursing, and raising infants of other species. But that's different. This is male capuchins just stealing baby howler monkeys, and then they just die.
Are they coordinating with each other to do this?
Well, they said they, over a 15-month period, they cameras caught 5 different male capuchins carrying off 11 different infant howler monkeys for days at a time, and at least several of them died.
Well, that's terrifying behavior.
And they wouldn't let them escape, but they didn't take care of them.
Do you know what is? That's terrifying behavior
from
an animal.
Scientists have said they've never seen anything like this.
I'll tell you what's really terrifying is these orcas. These orcas who, they coordinate. Like, let's say they're chasing a seal who, and the seal is hiding out on top of an ice cap. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll come up next to it and they'll poke their head out of the water and they'll look and see where it is. Then they'll take a running start, and like 3 orcas will go underneath the ice cap to break it up, knowing that it will knock the seal off into the water so they can eat it. It's really smart, but it is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, but it's not as cruel as just random abductions.
Yes, it is. They're going to eat it. They're going to eat that poor seal.
That's life.
That's true. It's also life. So there are people, people need help in the St. Louis area. We know that, and we have been talking about it, but there is also an issue with people not being able to feed their pets, the pets that they love. And with Purina, Kim Beardsley is going to join us next to talk about Purina Cares Day. It's a food distribution system for local families and pets that are in need. We're going to talk to Kim next on KMOX.
Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco, 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 taco. This deal legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99. Taco to go.